unafraid, uninfluenced, unleashed. You're listening to American Unleashed.
Here we are, and welcome to this week's edition of American Unleashed. I am your host, and we're going to talk about a little bit of news of the day, and then we're going to get into our part one of our five-part series on the five freedoms of our First Amendment. And again, that is a little misleading when some people think there's four. The last two are not mutually exclusive to each other. That "and" is just there to say, hey, there's just one more here. So we've got five different ones to go through. Today we're going to go through the very first one that started it all. It made it all possible, freedom of religion. And we're going to get some things some of you are not going to like to hear. Some of you are really going to get mad at me. But I warned you when we started this that I was going to make you mad. But when I get done explaining it, I hope you understand that this was designed to actually make your faith a stronger thing and to make your beliefs stronger, because in this country, we do have a freedom of religion that is far and above any other nation in the world. Now, other nations may be stronger with a specific, when you boil it down to one specific religion, and some of them, you have to be a very certain sect of a certain religion, but nowhere in the world. Several have a freedom of religion to an extent, but nowhere is it so bold and big and secured as it is right here in the United States of America. But again, you're going to hear some stuff from me you're not going to like. But you have to trust me. I want you to listen till the end on this, because this is what's the real important part, is the stuff behind. It's not just what you're hearing from your preacher or what you're hearing from your politician or what you're hearing from the talking heads. Once again, I'm not going to tell you to take my word for anything. I'm not, you know, some of these guys on these talk shows who say, well, I said it and so you can believe it. I don't want you to do that. You don't need to do that. I'm not going to ever ask that of you, because that is way too arrogant, and I don't want to ever fall in that category with those types. I want you to do the research. I want you to go find old copies of the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, which are basically your special guide to how our U.S. Constitution works, because they were the collected essays. Benjamin Franklin put all these together. He categorized them two spots, basically, for these two books. And in it are all of the, I don't want to say behind the scenes, but all of the meanings for what our United States Constitution stands for. And none of it would have been possible if not for the freedom of religion, because at the time we had a whole mess of these 13 colonies. And believe me, it was a mess, and we're going to get into that in here in a little while. But we're going to start, as we normally do, with some news of the day. And since our last episode, we've had a lot of crazy things go on. Donald Trump is appealing the fine and the ruling that was made against him for this big monetary bit they've hit him with. And so far, his appeal has got it knocked down to $175 million, which to us seems like an astronomical figure. And it is. It's a huge, huge number. But understand, one of the things that the media is doing is they're overemphasizing that he is appealing the number because, oh, well, he doesn't have that much. He's really not that big a deal. He's not as much as he says he is. They're using it as an attack weapon. But the fact is he's not just appealing the fine. He's appealing the ruling as well. And if the ruling is overturned, well, then the fine goes with it. And to be honest, it should be overturned in the next set of appeals in the higher courts. Now, what you have to ask yourself is, why is there such a rush for him to pay this? Because since the ruling, they've been banging on the table saying, okay, he needs to get a bond, he needs to pay this, and then, you know, we can always return it to him if this is ever overturned, which they're going to try to see to it doesn't get. But I'm going to tell you why here in a second. But there's just this huge pressure for Trump to go ahead and pay this, because basically what the media will do is they will take this and they will spin it. And they will claim that him paying this fee, whatever it is the same as a confession of guilt. And that is the spin they will put on this. No matter what he pays, understand, they will use that as a confession of guilt and said, oh, well, he just went ahead and paid this because he knows he was guilty. This is what the media will do. This is what they do all the time. They take their issues and they use whatever they can to spin it. And that is why there is such this rush and the media panicking and acting as if, oh my gosh, he's got to pay this tomorrow. What in the world? Either going to take Trump Tower and do all this other stuff. The courts have already ruled they can't take that yet. They have to exhaust the appeals process before they can go into confiscation of properties, which is the way it's supposed to be done. But, of course, the left is eager to keep their witch hunt goose-stepping forward. And it's more proof that the bad in history, the bad guys have never been the ones who use the police power of government to silence or attack their political opponents. And this is more proof of it, and the people are waking up. They're seeing this. They're noticing how horrible this is and how infantile they're acting over all of this. And it's becoming very, very clear to the masses just what a rush they're in. They're like, well, what is the big hurry? Doesn't he get appeals? Doesn't he get to appeal this or that? And, of course, they have their people online saying, well, two sets of rules for everyone. Well, where was some of this other stuff for the Clintons? Where was some of this stuff for other people in history who had high office and had some very shady dealings? We could go through an elephant's list of the issues from just the Clintons alone and get into places where, oh, they were given this time, and oh my gosh, they went broke after they were doing this and after that. No, they didn't. Billions of dollars set aside in their fake foundation since the middle of the presidency. Another big story that has come up, the United Nations is demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. And also, Benjamin Netanyahu has pulled his delegation from the U.S. temporarily over this whole issue. Now, what you need to understand is that the United Nations, and United always needs to be in quotes because it's not united at all. This is probably the most corrupt organization on the planet right now. It is owned by several different types of people. Number one, the ultra-elite of the European set, including like the family that owns the World Bank, the oil sheiks, China, and several others control this organization. And basically, they decide what happens, and then they funnel it down through their people within the organization to put all this out. It all came out during 2020, and that which shall not be named. And no, I'm not talking about Voldemort. I'm talking about that little virus that came through and all the issues around it that we saw them panicking over and saying, oh, you got to do this and you got to do that. But it seemed to be very focused toward the United States, and it seemed very focused on a specific timeline that interrupted with our elections. So it was really just insane. But currently we're dealing with, and this is the reason Netanyahu pulled his delegation, is we are dealing with the Biden regime, which really truly is just the third term of Barack Obama. Excuse me, he's the man behind the scenes pulling the strings. And it's easily, this might be the most anti-Semitic administration we've ever had in our history of our country. Believe me, from some of the people we've had in office, that's saying something. But right now, we've got this huge issue over there. And the bottom line is if you think that Israel is the bad guy, then you are probably part of the problem in the system. Because this is just crazy. And we're going to talk about another story that came up with this here in a minute. Well, let's do it now. Candace Owens has been fired from the Daily Wire for sharing opinions where she takes the side of the Muslims, saying that Israel is the bad guy. They're the ones lobbing all these bombs and all this stuff over there for no reason, and they're trying to wipe all this out and do this and that. Well, I hate to break it to Candace, but let's be honest. History shows us that for decades now we've had one Islamic leader, and I use that term very loosely, after another, saying that Israel needed to be wiped off the map. And they've used that exact term over and over and over again. But now, all of a sudden, she's decided that she's going to take the side of this and say that, oh, the Muslims are the victims. And so she was fired for these crazy notions and all this blaming and just basically flip-flopping on the entire issue. And the fact is that the company has the right to fire her. They may not necessarily should have done it this way, but they did have the right to fire her because that has come up. All of a sudden, the left are screaming about free speech and, oh, they're just attacking a black woman for having a different opinion, which is natural where they would go with that. Candace was honestly one of the last ones I thought would sell out to the other side. But on this issue, I do find it more believable because the people who push this notion do tend to focus on the black community when they're trying to get sympathy for Muslims. around the world. And I've seen many people start their flip over to the other side this way, by being told that, oh, they're the victims and they're the ones being bullied by the evil Israeli state, which, folks, history is just too clear. You can go back and look at it, that the bottom line is Israel is not the bad guy here. If you ever look at the map of the era, you will see how tiny the state of Israel is compared to its Islamic neighbors. And it's just crazy. And if we're going to talk about insane, the next story, we got to talk about AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who for quite a while I was feeling sorry for, because I think she's just, I think she's probably a nice kid. Not very bright, though. And the other day she spent, from what I understand, several hours arguing with a lawyer whether RICO is legal or not. And I'm not sure exactly. I haven't been able to look at the whole video yet of what she had to say. But RICO is what Fannie Willis is using in Georgia to persecute Donald Trump with. And RICO was it was instituted back in the day to go after the crime families, the organized crime. And it's basically a way to put everything into one giant bag and then use that bag kind of as a big blunt object to hit them over the head with. With just a mountain of charges. I've always been a little back and forth on whether it really should be used or not. I can understand it in some cases, but also I understand that a lot of it is used for the tactic of prosecutorial bullying to try to get guilty pleas for other things. It's why you get all these extra tickets when you got a DUI wreck or something. If you didn't have your seatbelt on, if your light was broken, they'll tack on all these extra tickets and say, look, we go to the judge with all this stuff and he's just going to throw the book at you for this big line of charges. But if you plead guilty to this, we can make a bunch of this other stuff go away. Well, think about that on a much larger scale, and that's where RICO comes in. So the debate can be had for whether it really is morally legal or not, and whether it really truly meets the United States legal standards. That's a debate for people with probably far higher degrees than I will ever have in the law. And believe me, I've spent a lot of time studying the law. But the big joke going around the internet is that AOC was actually defending this because she thought RICO was just the name of the bouncer of the bar she used to work at before she got fired. Or that RICO is actually an illegal, she's trying to defend an illegal alien who she thinks names is RICO. But those are the jokes around this that are going around. But that's what happens when this kid just starts talking, is it just makes such easy target for so many people. And like I said, I would love to go after her. I really would. But the fact is, she's just a kid. I think she's being used by the left to put her in front of a microphone to try to get younger people involved with their style of things. And it's just wrong. It's just insane. But to sit there and argue with a lawyer for so long over something like that is just crazy. Also in the news, along with Neil Young, which I don't have to tell you my feelings about him. Can't stand him. Singer Joni Mitchell, who I do have some respect for, is returning her catalog to Spotify after the big Joe Rogan controversy. Again, this is just more Hollywood hypocrisy, folks. They made a big deal out of something they didn't understand, and they pulled all this stuff to throw temper tantrums, and then they realized, I don't know if Joni realized she was wrong, or she wanted the money, or what it is, why exactly she's doing it, but she is returning her catalog to Spotify, just as Neil Young did, who said he would never, ever return. Here, Matt, we got a new buzz term for you to talk about. We're always going to try to have the buzz term and explain it to you and why you need to be aware of it. But a couple of some more stories here out of the Joe Biden camp, the Biden regime, as we call it, the third term of Obama, that supposedly the administration has spent $7.5 billion of our tax dollars to create 500,000 electric vehicle chargers. There's only one little problem, folks. They haven't even made 10 of them yet. So, once again, we have this astronomical figure from our government of our tax dollars, And we've got to be sitting there scratching our heads and going, where in the hell did this money go? $7.5 billion of our tax dollars to create 500,000 electric vehicle chargers. And we've talked about this electrical vehicle nonsense, how we had that short time several years ago when all the cities were having brownouts because the system supposedly wasn't going to be able to take the electrical wattage and do all this. But then electric cars came along. And, oh my gosh, the power issue was fixed. Why? Because we've got to power all these electric vehicles. We've got to make sure the electric vehicles stay on the road. But they had to have all these charging stations. And the fact is, one of the great memes online is where you see a trailer with a diesel engine pulling up to help recharge an electric car. And Facebook and their supposed experts and their fake fact checkers say, oh, well, that's just a fake thing. It really didn't happen that way and all this. And you're looking at the picture going, well, anybody who's ever worked on any kind of car or any kind of engine or any kind of generator or anything will tell you that's exactly what is going on in that picture, which is what it is. But they can say what they want because it is their platform. But it's only a matter of time before somebody else steps up and shows them they're wrong. We got some new spin out there on another term, the term groomer, which had been running around being used for what the trans community was trying to do for children with these books that are being published and these drag queens reading stories to children. And now it is being turned around and used against those using them in a different way. Now it's about middle-aged white men wanting to groom teenage girl to be, quote-unquote, Epstein'd. So beware of those middle-aged white men in the Trump hats, because if they're looking at your underage daughter, they're looking to groom her so they can Epstein her. And it's starting to make the rounds with the hag group, mainly. Joy Behar, Joy Reid, and their collection of, well, you know. Anyway, it's only a matter of time before we see Rachel Maddow melt down over this. And, you know, beware of any of these men you see in this age group, white men you see in this age group, because if they even look over in the direction of your daughter, my God, they're trying to groom her to be Epstein'd. So there's the new one and the new attack on the quote-unquote red hats. And then the buzz term we got to give to you, DEI, which they all want to use as an anagram for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it's their excuse for giving away all kinds of things to people, all kinds of extras, and they get special treatment here, special treatment there. It's insane, but a better use of the term to describe all this is DEI didn't earn it. They didn't earn it, but they're being given it because of their skin color or their lifestyle choices. And so it's more verbiage that they use to try to deceive people. And they, oh, it's got initials for it, DEI. Oh, that must mean it's important. Oh, my goodness, like FBI or CIA, DEI. Boy, that sounds important. So they make it sound a lot bigger than it is. Now, something that is as big as people think it is our subject today. And our subject today is the first part of the First Amendment to our United States Constitution. And it is, as I said before, the part that made it all work. I'll give you a little history lesson here to start with. You had the 13 original colonies. Well, the reason you had 13 and they never really got together is they were basically 13 different denominations. You had one that would eventually become Mary's Land, a.k.a. Maryland, which, as you can imagine, were the Catholics. And then you had, I forget which one was the Protestants and all this kind of thing, which I think Pennsylvania. But anyway, they were 13 very different groups of people. And let me tell you, back then, if you were part of one and you accidentally walked into the other one and happened to mention any of your beliefs, it's possible you'd have been burned at the stake as a heretic. Yes, that's, yes, they were that primitive at the time with things. It's just the way it was. But when they decided to put together the Constitution, the freedom of religion part is the part that made it all work, because that's them saying, okay, what you believe in is your own faith, and here we are going to create a nation to where you're going to be able to have that faith in any way you want to, as long as it does not interfere or infringe on the freedoms, rights, and liberties of others. And they all agreed to that. And that was actually a really big step for them, because like I said, you walked into the wrong camp at the wrong time saying the wrong thing, you was in trouble. And there was no telling what might happen to you. If you were a woman and you didn't dress the right way or you said the wrong thing, this was pre-Salem witch trials, or not too far before it. And so you can imagine of what, how severe it was and how barbaric it almost was. And so you could literally walk into the wrong area and they say, my gosh, there's a heretic. We can't let him spread that here. You know, put up the stake and get the firewood ready. And so it really was that bad at one point. But when they finally got together, they said, we're going to set this up and we're going to give everybody the chance to believe as they want, as long as you keep that to yourself and you don't let it infringe on others, a.k.a. you don't force it on to them. The reason being is our founding fathers had fought for that freedom from a tyrannical theocracy. Now, according to Schoolhouse Rock, the king was the one who imposed all this and did all these crazy things. And if you remember, they kick the bucket over across the sea and it lands on the king's head. But the truth of the matter is the monarchy was a figurehead. The real power was the Church of England, because the Church of England could basically sit here and say, okay, you either do what we say or you impose what we tell you to over these people, or we will have you excommunicated. And if you're excommunicated from the church, you cannot serve as king. And if you've been serving as king and we excommunicate you, we might decide that your stuff is bad enough that, well, we might borrow a guillotine from the French. And that's basically what happened. They fought for our freedom from a tyrannical theocracy. They saw what happened when religion controlled the government. And so what they did was, if you go back and you read the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, you see that freedom of religion also does mean freedom from religion, both in favor of the people over government. And what that did was say that they cannot tell you how to believe. They cannot tell you what you're going to believe or what you're not going to believe. They're not going to be able to sit there and say, well, we don't like this, so you're not going to be able to believe in this. Pardon me. But what they also said in that was that we are not going to adopt a specific religion nationally and impose that down upon you as the people, as we saw before with the Church of England and what they did through the monarchy. They wanted to ensure that no matter which way it happened, the people had the power over government. And that's why it was worded back then, freedom of religion was understood to mean both. As that, and if you read the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, there are several different spots in there where they will tell you, again, I'm not asking you to take my word for it. Find some old copies, not the new ones. Don't order brand new ones off Amazon or any of that kind of stuff. There's no telling what they've spun it and changed it to look like. But you find the old books and the old used bookstores and all that. You find them on eBay with, you know, a couple hundred years or a hundred some years in them. Mine are published 1894, I believe, in my library. And they state all the original wording that the Founding Fathers used. And sometimes it can be a little hanky to try to get through because they did speak English, but it was quite a bit different than what we do today. If you don't understand, read some of the original English translations of Jules Verne, and you'll see some of this old English type of verbiage, and it almost is a different language at times. But you get through it, and all you have to do is take your time and read through it. And if you use my steps, like I talked about last week, on how to diagram a book, and then you verify those different facts with other resources, you spell it out for yourself, and we can study anything. So once again, as we said a couple of weeks ago, the big lie, oh, you can't understand the United States Constitution unless you're a lawyer, which is an absolute lie. You can understand it if you're willing to learn, if you're willing to study. But what this also means, and here's the part I know a lot of you are going to get mad at me about, Separation of church and state is a real thing. And it is in the fact that they wanted that separation in there. That way, no one religion could take effect over the public like it did in England and like it took control there and tried to control people's lives. So it is actually a real thing. It is part of the Constitution. It is not stated word for word out that way, but that is it. And it's just, it's a truth. It's a fact. And you need to understand religion and your faith is a personal issue. You have absolutely no right to try to force it on someone else. And here in a minute, we're going to talk about our public schools, because that's one thing we need to get into over that subject. But I love Schoolhouse Rock. I love what they taught in the basics and some of this stuff. The one about the bill is still one of the more accurate, except for Conjunction Junction. We all know that one. It's just classic. But in that, it was a little bit wrong in that there was something else behind the monarchy that was the one making the real decisions behind what was going on. And once in a while, you'll have somebody from the left who will, I don't know if you ever heard the term, you got it, well, we're in the Ozarks. You've heard the term, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. Well, Barack Obama has stated that this is not a Christian nation, and he is correct. I hate saying that about him, but it's the truth. We are not. We are a nation first and foremost of freedom. That's why the tagline and the motto of this show is freedom first. If you put freedom first on any and all issues, pretty much every discussion and every debate and every problem we have with each other will work itself out, because essentially what you're doing is realizing that your freedoms stop where someone else's freedoms start. You do not have the right to impose your beliefs on someone else. And I see this in so many different places today where they try to, oh, well, my God is the one. And if you would just follow this, you would be so much better off. And I'm like, not everybody believes the same way you do. And there's a reason for that. And the very arrogant will instantly come off, well, they don't believe that because they're wrong. And that's not going to solve a dang good thing. And this is where we're going to talk in a little bit, where honestly today's religious right is pretty much the same as today's modern left, but we'll get into that in a minute. Another one that comes up online all the time, don't judge others because they sin differently than you, is the basic part about it, because I've been in so many different kinds of these churches. First Baptist, Second Baptist, Southern Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Catholic, all these places. I keep finding the same book. And the interpretations are different enough that these people just can't seem to get together on it. I remember when I was a student at Southwest Baptist University, as a lovely young lady who I was friends with there, but every day at chapel, she would go out on the aisle and she would dance. And so one day, I, not knowing any better, I walked out there and I tried to join in. And she got mad. Not angry, you know, not real that, but she was like, I dance for my Lord. Dancing with another man is sinful. So you've got some of these people who say you don't want them to dance, you don't want them to do that. I mean, the Catholics are the ones that get to have the big dances and they get to drink and do all this other stuff, where, you know, so many others have to sneak into the back rooms. Even the Jewish folks, you know, they're not supposed to gamble on certain days. They're not supposed to do this on certain days, but they sneak off to have penny ante poker and do these different little things that they do. But and it's the same with all of them. But essentially, it's still the same book. It's the interpretation of it that gives us these changes between the different denominations of the church. And I'm not saying anybody's wrong, anybody's right. I'm saying that your faith is simply your own. And if it improves your life, if it does well for your life, I want you to believe in whatever you want to believe. I truly do. But you also do not have the right to impose that on me. And here is where we get into putting God back into the schools. Okay, which one? Oh, well, the Christian God, of course. Oh, well, fine. We'll let the Catholics know that we'll have those Bibles delivered from the Catholic Roman Catholic Church, and we'll set all that in motion, and we'll make sure we take time to... Oh, no, not that one. Oh, okay, not... Which one? Oh, well, our... The one. The one. Well, which one is that? There's only one. I mean, trust me, this is another reason I compare them to the modern left, is because they will say these things and they will stop at that and think that that just wins the argument. Oh, well, the one. Well, can you go a little deeper? Can you explain to me which one? Okay, let's say we do this, and let's say, okay, we're not going to use the Catholic one because the Catholics have a lot of their own schools. I grew up Methodist, so why not? We're gonna do the schools, and we're gonna have the Methodist method of teaching religion in school. Oh, wait, what? No, okay, not that one. No, the one. Oh, the one. Well, I can tell you, in certain parts of this country, if you try to put First Baptist in a Southern Baptist area, you're gonna have a problem at the next board meeting. I can tell you, in some areas, if you try to put Southern Baptist instead of the First Baptist, you're going to have problems at the next board meeting. And it is that way with a lot of these areas, especially in regions, different parts where certain parts of the church are more popular and more attended than others. So which one do we use, or do we let the family and do we let the church house take care of that side of it where they can exclusively teach religion to their children and their families and whatever they do, and just leave schools for the reading, the writing, and the arithmetic? Because honestly, this—if you want a way we will start a bit of a civil war in this country—is if someone does get into office and we really do try to impose one of these onto all of the government schools and say, well, they're all going to be Baptist. Well, no, they're all going to be Presbyterian. Well, no, they're all going, or, you know, we get out to Utah. Well, they're all going to be Mormon. Or you go up to New York, they're all going to be Jewish. No, we're in New Jersey, or we go to this area, or that, or right now you can go up to Minnesota, where they've got a lot of Muslims who have moved in and have come in from other parts of the world. And there are several areas up there that are heavily Muslim, including wanting to push it into the schools. So which one do we go with, or do we simply go along with our United States Constitution and say, why don't you keep your faith, you have your faith, and as long as it doesn't impose upon my faith, we'll be just fine, and we just leave the schools for, like we said, the reading, the writing, arithmetic. But we have so many people who are just so determined that they want to just shove this back into the schools. But when you start asking the questions, and what do we talk about? All three of the last shows, we talked about asking questions, especially when they tell you not to question. That's when you ask the most questions. And this is one area where they all get very nervous, because you're questioning them and you're questioning what they want to do. And again, whenever someone tells you to stop questioning is when they are the most suspect. It is when that you need to be the most concerned about what their intentions are for what they're doing. And the safest, the easiest, the best way they did it, and the way the Founding Fathers were basically about it, was, well, this is the church house over here, and this is the schoolhouse over here. And I know in a lot of smaller communities, they were used for the same thing. It was the school during the week, and it was the church on Sundays. But what they did was they made sure the separation was still there, and it was. And so the teacher would teach the basics of reading, writing, arithmetic, history, science, and, you know, we talk about these crazy memes online. I love bringing these things up because some of them are very entertaining. They had the one about creation, and they had the one about, you need to teach creationism in college, in schools. And they said, well, if we're going to teach that, then we need to teach the stork theory on childbirth, which I thought, yeah, that's pretty reasonable. You think it's ridiculous, but actually it's really the way it is. If you're going to teach one, you need to teach the other. Or, again, you leave faith to the family, to the church house, where they can specify in it, and the school can be for everything else. But I'm going to say something here, and again, people are not going to like this, but brainwashing children is never a good idea. I don't care what your reasoning, I don't care what your justification. So when I see these people putting and forcing their children into Sunday schools and summer church camps and all this, and I see these small children being taught, well, this is it, and then you're broken, and you need someone to fix you. You're lost, and you need someone to find you. No, they're not. They're children. They're learning. There is absolutely no reason ever for any reason, under any circumstance, to brainwash a child. And I know some people will come back and go, well, what about that of Pledge of Allegiance? Well, we are the United States of America, and the Pledge of Allegiance is to the flag and to the nation that we live in, and the nation that gives them the freedoms and these rights and these liberties that they enjoy and that are able to be a part of. And let's not forget that that one two-letter phrase was forced in for what they at the time they called morale purpose. They thought that putting under God in there would improve the morale of the country. And actually, it was just an opportunity during wartime, during a crisis, for one group to force their beliefs on others. And it was wrong, plain and simple. So when I say the pledge, I leave those two words out, because I like to say it the way it's supposed to be said. And that way, the way I'm saying it is not me imposing my beliefs on others. It is simply me showing my dedication and my allegiance to my country, which I have. And I said it earlier, I'll say it now, and it's going to tick off a lot of people. I warned you. I told you it was going to happen. I'm going to tick off each and every one of you at some point or another. Today's going to be a good one for it. But in my opinion, the modern left and the religious right are two sides of the same coin, because they are far more interested in forcing their agenda onto people than they are in putting freedom first. The religious right will always tell you, oh, you must put God first. God must always come first in anything and everything you do. Well, the modern left wants you to put government first. You know, that in modern left, it's supposed to be about, you know, the collective. And it's supposed to be about those who can tell the collective how the collective is supposed to do. So it's about government, and it's about the elite who control and own the collective. And, you know, they both just want to force that. And I will never forget, my dad's hero for many years was John Wayne, as far as the movies and things like that go in the pop culture. Good role model to have through that. Made great movies, inspired people, had roles that made you see the heroic side of it. He always saved the widow's farmer's wife and all this stuff. And right off into the sunset, and he told you, you know, courage was being afraid and saddling up anyway. And that's a heroic statement right there. But I was a little later in time, so for a big time, it was a throw up between Tom Selleck, Burt Reynolds, and Chuck Norris. And Chuck was what Chuck is today, legendary. He was just a badass dude from minute one. And at one point, he said it in sarcasm, I believe, but at one point he said, oh, you ought to take the atheists and hold them down and write, "In God We Trust," across their foreheads. And I lost a huge amount of respect for him with that statement, because it was so insane and so horribly uneducated and so far more much against what freedom and liberty are supposed to be about. And around the same time, Ann Coulter, who I know the left like to attack her and call her names and do all this because they don't have anything substantive to say about the woman, was saying, well, you need to hold people down and convert them to Christianity. And again, she was going for sarcasm. She was trying to be a bit of a wise ass, and it backfired on her. The media and everybody just took to her. And yes, there was a small group of people who thought it was, oh, that's what we need. That's what we need. We need more people converted to the Lord, and however they do it is just fine. Well, no, actually, it's not. Take it from someone who grew up in the church. I grew up in a Methodist church. And then I spent 3 years at a Baptist Bible college. I spent a lot of time studying that side of it. I had some brilliant discussions with friends who were ordained ministers in Mormon and other religions. I also had great discussions with some of my teachers and professors at Southwest Baptist University, like Larry Hodges and several others, where we talked in depth about some of this. And what I came away with was the way that Christianity was supposed to be, at least from my studies, was that what you did was you inspired people around you who wanted to know why your life was the way it was, and so they would ask you, and you would say, well, here's what I believe in. And you would never ever consider for one moment writing something across their forehead or holding them down and converting them and this and that? It was supposed to be by inspiration. And that is so much about what faith is supposed to be. First of all, within the age of the internet, we've had all these people come up with these links to these companies that supposedly have done studies that say, oh, now scientists agree that this and this and this part of the Bible shows that it's actually a historical document rather than just a document of faith. Well, no, it's not. It is simply that. It is simply a document of faith. And faith means that you do have faith in something, regardless of the fact that you have no fact to back it up. Because something in your heart, something in your soul, tells you that this is the path that you want to take with your life. And to muck it up with all of these supposed studies and all of this nonsense that says, oh, well, this happened and that happened. Well, there is no doubt, and we've seen a lot of different bits about it, that there was a major flood in a part of the world at one point where a lot of people in that area would have thought that, oh my gosh, it's hit us. It must be flooding the entire earth. However, we also know that is impossible, number one. And two, we know that it is impossible for Noah to have gotten all those animals on that ark simply because of the number of different species there were. I would love to know how the penguins got there. That would be an interesting story right there. Can we get Morgan Freeman to narrate that one? How the penguins got, because if you ever saw March of the Penguins, he did a beautiful job narrating that. Wonderful, beautiful thing to watch sometime if you get the chance on a cold or dreary afternoon like we had the other day, put in something like that. It's kind of just nice to watch. But I would love for somebody to get there and tell me, and my favorite one is the meme about the dinosaur standing on the bit of land that keeps getting shorter and shorter with the water coming up around it. And they're both looking at the ark sailing away, and one of them looks at the other one and said, oh, golly gee, was that today? And that's how we lost the dinosaurs. And it's funny, and then Hollywood decides to try to tell the story, and there are these rock giants that come out of the cliffs that try to destroy the ark and thwart Noah's efforts and all this. Of course, Hollywood's always got to put spin on stuff. I found it more entertaining that way. It was a good Hollywood version of the tale. But I also got a lot of respect for some of the older movies that we saw, like The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. Genuine motion picture classic that in a lot of ways did try to stick very close to the stories that they were coming from. And I watch it the same way I watch anything else with a movie. I see just good storytelling there. We go back to the schools for a moment. Here recently, the last 10 or 12 years, maybe a little longer, 2020 is throwing us all off on that kind of thing. I remember, I think it was the city of Nixa. The school board decided that they weren't going to allow the Harry Potter books into certain school libraries because they contain magic. Everybody together, ooh, magic. That's right. And, of course, we cannot let children know about that. I've run into people who say, oh, that Disney is awful because, you know, talking animals has got to be something the devil had to do with, which I've never pictured Mickey as a Satanist. I've always thought he was a rather cute, lovable little fellow. But you get these notions from these communities that are just get so absolutely far out into left field, to use a baseball analogy, that it is so far away from common sense. Oh, all these books, they have magic in them, so they must be terrible. And, of course, I grew up in the generation where we had congressional hearings on records being played backwards, had satanic messages in them. And I will never forget Dee Snider, the lead singer of Twisted Sister, going up in front of the congressional committee, and he was still dressed like a wild rocker, but he gave an amazing speech that just, when he got done, the whole place was silent for a moment because they could not believe they were getting such an amazingly powerful speech from this rock and roller who looked like, you know, he fell off of a drag float at a pride parade. It's just, I've met Dee on several occasions. He's a character, man. But when he got dolled up back in the day, he looked wild as could get. But he came out now without the makeup and necessarily without the wildness on it. He still had the long hair, still had the sunglasses and everything. But his speech, if you get a chance, I really want you to go to YouTube and find that thing. It is excellent. And just like we get out of the global warming folks who once in a while will sit there and they will go off on some tangent about how we've got to stop using paper bags. This was a real issue back in the 70s. We had to quit using paper bags and we had to start using plastic bags because all the trees were going to be gone. Paper bag usage was going to make sure we didn't have trees anymore. So we had to switch to the plastic bags. Well, then what do we get? In the late 90s, early 2000s, oh my God, we got to get rid of the plastic bags. We're killing all the sea life, and we're doing all this, and we're doing all that, which ended up to be true. They did do a lot of damage. But every once in a while, they come up with one of these notions, and it's just like the other side on the religion side. Well, Harry Potter, it's just the devil's way of getting through to children. That's where she got the ideas. The devil was feeding these notions to her for these stories. And I remember the same thing happening. Stories happening about J.R.R. Tolkien and the series about The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, and oh, it was magic, and they're just trying to deceive children to the dark ways. Right up the road, Highway 65, James River Assembly, which, boy, I got some stories for that place. First of all, it is a franchised church, yes, like McDonald's, franchised. It is not a hometown, grassroots, all that kind of stuff they try to claim to be. It is not. But the preacher got up there one day, or whatever they call him, and he said that yoga is the path to the devil. That's right, friends. Yoga is the path to the devil. Well, the one thing he forgot to mention with this is that his wife was the one who taught the yoga classes at his church. Well, they call it something else, but it was yoga. Now, they didn't have the crystals and the chanting and some of that candle stuff that does happen in some forms of yoga that are more akin to its origins. But an awful lot of yoga here in the United States doesn't use any of that stuff. It's just a physical part of it. But his argument was that it caused certain things within certain people's bodies, especially women's bodies, that made them more promiscuous and did this and did that. And I mean, I've watched the speech online. If you want to call it a sermon, you can. It was laughable. I mean, I spent a lot of time laughing at him. And it's another one of those times where, like when they say they want to ban the Harry Potter books because of magic, they want to get rid of this. Oh, that's got talking animals. That's the devil. Folks, we have got to understand that both of these groups are an issue, and both of these groups are pretty much two sides of the same coin of lunacy. America is a nation of freedom, first and foremost, without question. There's just no way to argue with that. And if we put freedom first, so many of our problems will go away. Especially this problem between the different forms of Christianity. Because what you will do then is you will respect someone else's beliefs, you will try to be the best person you can. And if your way is better than theirs, then hopefully they will sit there and ask you, well, how do you do this? How do you have a better life? How are you happy so much? And I'm not going to lie to you. Some of them, it is straight up delusion. They think that everything is peachy because their God is up in the sky and the sun came up today. And no matter how bad things are around them, they will tell you everything is great because God is there for them and all this stuff. But the people who really know are the people who say, well, I use my faith, whatever that may be, to get by the hardships that come up in life and try to use us to make the best decisions. And they understand that the decisions are made by the individual. They have nothing to do with the man in the sky. They have nothing to do with the man down on the ground with the horns and the pitchfork and the tail. It comes down to human decisions and the choices we make in life. And the choices you make in your life is what sends you on the path that you go down. And if you wish to put divine intervention in there and say that that's part of the decisions you make, that is your choice. If it makes you feel better, if it makes a better thing for your life, I want you to have that in your life. I really do. But I don't want you to sit there and tell me I'm wrong simply because I don't believe the exact same way you do. Take a look at it. That's exactly what the left does. if one little thing goes wrong, because I've seen them, I support a lot of different environmental charities, like the coral reefs and the shark finning and the sea turtles. But the moment that I sit there and tell them that the polar bear thing is a bunch of nonsense, they flip their giblet. And they tell me that I am just another knuckle-dragging, gun-toting, Bible-thumping, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, wait a minute, 5 minutes ago we were talking about the sharks and the sea turtles, and we were getting on great, but I have a different opinion on the polar bears, and all of a sudden I'm the enemy? Can we not work together to save the sharks and the sea turtles? And they will literally tell you no. The bottom line is whatever it is can have extremes to the point where it coincides and completely contradicts with common sense and reality. And that is where the problem lies, no matter what the issue and no matter what the origin, whether it be religion, whether it be politics, whether it be the modern left, or whether it be the environmentalisms and all this other stuff. It's when we go out to this lunatic fringe end of things that the problems come up, and where we have issues, why we can't get along. And you can start this back again to the fact that I can go into so many different houses of worship. I can find the exact same book in everyone. I could probably go and swap some of them out. I could literally, unless they have different covers and different actual titles, I could probably go and swap a bunch of them out. Nobody ever know the difference. But they have a different interpretation of what it means. And that is where the difference lies in why they have to feel like they, well, time to break off from that group and start our own one. And a lot of that time, I'm not going to lie, it's about ego. I've seen this happen with charitable organizations. You get a group, I'm going to bring up this one because it's just one that's in the mind, breast cancer awareness. I've seen great groups that do great things for that cause. Yet all of a sudden, one of the board members or one of the people in it gets upset with how the group is being ran or how things are being done, and suddenly they say, yeah, I'm going to go make up my own. And so they start their own group up. Well, then you have split the money that's going to this cause, and every time you split that, less and less of the overall money ends up going to the cause you're trying to help, because you build up more expenses, you build up more crossroads, you build up more stopping points. And where if you had one group, they were raising $100,000, well, you'd think, well, if I've got two groups, I can still raise $50,000 each for the deal, but it never adds up that way. When you split it up, it always ends up being 40-40 with a 10% on each side for costs and expenses and all these different changes. And you split it down again, well, there's even less money for the cause. And that's one of the reasons why the media and certain politicians encourage these splits, from whether it be churches to charitable organizations to school organizations. That's why we have these diversity officers at schools now, to make sure everybody's split and divided and messed up as you can possibly get. They say, oh, it's all about unity. Really? Then how come is it that every time you put one of these officers in a school, we get more division? We've had it going on long enough that we can now see that that is actually what's happening. So, again, freedom of religion, it helped start the whole thing with our Constitution. It helped the whole thing work. Without it, none of it would have ever happened. But it was in the understanding that you have your beliefs, I have my beliefs, I'm not going to force mine on you, you're not going to force yours on me, and we're going to live together, and we're going to focus on being Americans together. And we're going to focus on freedom first, because that was the true focus of our founding fathers. It was not to create a Christian nation, one nation under God. It was to create a nation where freedom came first, period. Because they knew if they did that, everything else would really kind of work itself out, except for the corrupt. This also would make it easy to identify the corrupt, because the corrupt want to break that down and to destroy that notion. And we see it today with all the people who are trying to cause a division in our country for whatever reason, for all the different excuses they give. It just keeps getting more insane. And if you watch what they say, it gets more insane. And you can see the sides that have the less substance, the least amount of substance, and the least amount of history on their sides and the least amount of facts, because they immediately revert to name-calling. They immediately revert to misusing terms, like the term phobia. Most of the terms that you hear today that have a phobia attached to it are completely made up by the media. They do not truly exist within a competent psychological community. We'll take Islamophobe. Islamophobe was created to try to pacify people and to make it seem like the people who were against Islamic terror were as against all Muslims. And it's not even really a phobia of the people. It's more of the ideal that they have and the way they believe. I've got nothing against the people. My issue is with how they believe in the certain way that they do, because it very much enacts an anti-freedom style of thinking. That's my issue. So if I have a phobia to anything, I have a phobia for people who work against common sense and the people who work against unity and the people who work against understanding each other and getting along and finding ways to get along despite our differences. That's one of the things that made our country great, is we could get along despite our differences. And that's how those 13 original colonies were, was they decided through this great document that they were going to find a way to get along and create a nation where they could believe in what they wanted to without the interference of government. And that's why freedom of religion is always first, because it was what made the whole wheel work. And if you take that and you really truly do put freedom first, you're going to fix problems with people you have on these political and social issues, because you start, at least on your side, you have it fixed. They may not decide to do that, but on your side, you start thinking about, okay, how does freedom first work in this situation? How can I have my freedoms? How can they have their freedoms? Where do I stop? Where do I start? Knowing those boundaries and understanding that your freedom does not overlap someone else's just because you think you believe in it more. Your freedoms and liberties are just as important as the person next to you sitting there at Chick-fil-A, or the person sitting across from you at some other area, or the neighbor down the street. Your freedoms, your faith is a part of your life. It helps make you who you are. My faith is in the United States of America and what built her, and this freedom first notion. And the more I've thought about it, the more I look into it, the more I see that if I do that, it does not let me down. I may be disappointed in others. I may just be disappointed in issues. I may be disappointed in other things. But in the notion and in the belief of freedom first, I do not lose my faith in, because it doesn't ever turn on me. And when it does, it tells me that I need to look at myself and I need to look at where I'm standing on that issue. Am I standing in the right place? Am I standing in the wrong place? Have I gone too far here? Have I gone too far there? And it makes me think. And that is one of the things we've got to do more, folks, is we've got to think more for ourselves. We've got to turn off the idiot box. Leave your radio on. Please leave your radio on. Radio is a good thing most of the time. I know the station's here. I'm looking up at the banner for 106.3, the Legends. And the good people, good music, good things to do. But the television, oh my goodness. Every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have all these fake news channels that are spreading division and hate. And just all of this nonsense that is designed for us to fight one another instead of fighting back against the corrupt. And unfortunately, it has stepped down into the churches as well, because you have these activist preachers who are now preaching politics from the pulpit. And one of the best things you can ever do is remember that reason why we do have the separation of church and state is because one of the best things we can ever do is to keep politics out of religion and keep religion out of politics, because one mucks up the other every single time. I have no issue with the people of a church going in to a council meeting, a board meeting, stating their beliefs on what they as an individual are. But when the churches themselves get involved, Then they are starting to try to push their own agenda upon others through the police power of government, and that is always wrong. And again, I'll go back to one other thing that I know will make some people upset, but brainwashing children, however you do it, is always wrong. It is never acceptable. It's like slavery. There are just certain things we have in this world that should not ever be acceptable. And to brainwash children without giving them the tools to think for themselves and to think freely. I'll never forget, that's the last time I'll bring up a meme, but it was one more than a meme, just a photograph online, and it was a picture of a church sign, and the sign literally said, "An open mind is the devil's playground." Folks, that says it all about what's wrong with religion. That they don't want you to have an open mind, when in fact, more than ever, I do mean more than ever, today, folks, I challenge you to have an open mind. I challenge you to consider the possibility that what you think you believe, may not be quite exactly correct. Maybe you're wrong about this or that. Maybe you need to question more. Maybe you need to ask one more question. Maybe you need to ask a bunch more questions. Maybe you need to read a different book. Maybe you need to study more about this or that. And understand that religion has been altered throughout the years. All of them have. And so, more than ever, it's important what you feel is true to your heart and your soul for the betterment of your life. And I want us all to have that. I truly do. But make sure when you're doing that, you're not infringing on the rights and the liberties of others when you do so, because then you have taken a step too far. I want to thank everybody for being here on the show today. I know it's a crazy topic. I know I said things you didn't want to hear. But if you really want to look at history accurately, if you really want to look at the facts accurately, what I've stated is pretty dang close to the truth, if not the truth itself. And I'm hoping what it does is it empowers you to have a stronger faith in what you believe, because you do live in a nation that allows you to do so. So I want you to have a wonderful weekend. I know we're coming up on the Easter holiday. However you celebrate that, I want you and your family to have a glorious and wonderful weekend. And I will see you again next time. As always, I challenge you, as I do every week, do the research, do the reading, dig into the issues that you find important to you. Not because your TV tells you so, but because it's important to you. And always, I challenge you to put freedom first.